Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's Make Kevin Happy Day. Last 3 weeks, because of rapid weight loss, he has fallen into a very grumpy, grumpy pattern. Mark Lawrence does everything he can to make him happy in the morning. I feel we should do the same thing. So far, all the callers have been Kevin positive today. Now, none of them have buckled and broken down and asked him about IndyCar.
I don't see that happening.
But that's just based on the fact that he's the only person in the entire that's valley right. interested in it.
It's probably true. Me and Than Mitchell. Than always helps me out there.
Than likes Formula One.
He does, and he also likes IndyCar as well. Formula One's his favorite, though.
Okay. All right, that took 10 seconds. Good.
Ten good open wheel seconds.
There you go. So if you call today, you are to praise Kevin and tell him what a great job he's doing at 800-795-9565. All right? I'll talk to the local bishop. If any of you need dispensation, we'll get it for you. But, I mean, if you want...
I'll put in a good word.
Look, I was trying to do something positive for a friend. Oh. Okay, James Franklin. Let's just touch on this for a moment.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone in the Valley has seen the article, but it came out in the Tennessean in Nashville, reprinted Center Daily Times, and I think in the Post-Gazette today. I don't know if it was in the Patriot News or not. It may have been. But there's been a court filing in Nashville dealing with that unfortunate rape case that took place, I believe, in June of last year. And I don't recall all the details of it, obviously. But James Franklin's name has surfaced because he suspended the four players that are alleged to have had some involvement somewhere along the line in this. And along the way, the district attorney in Nashville has openly stated that James Franklin is not under any investigation at all for any role after this happened. He's not under any investigation, nor does he say there appears to be any wrongdoing on his part. He made the statement on September 13, 2013. One of the defendants in the case, his attorney filed a 24-page brief in which James Franklin's name comes up twice, that it is alleged that he spoke with the alleged victim 4 days after the alleged incident. I know I'm using the word alleged a lot here but it's how you have to do it. And basically, I guess because she'd worked on the recruiting side of things for Vanderbilt, you know, and worked in the building and the whole thing, he quote, wanted to make sure she was okay. Just checking to see if she was all right. Okay. His name was mentioned twice in the 24-page brief. Now, this has become news to some people because that brief was filed. Now, remember, what is the defense attorney trying to do? He's trying to get the charges dropped against his client. That's his job. I understand that. The important part to remember here is that this is not a prosecution brief that's accusing him of anything. So he'll have to, now with the caravan starting here in State College tomorrow and then working its way for the next couple of weeks throughout the state, there'll be media at each one of them, and he's going to be asked about it, and he essentially is going to say, look, I can't really talk about it because it's a legal situation. But I at least wanted the people to understand that his name was in there twice. It's in the story. You can see it. It's a 24-page brief. He is not the focal point of the brief. The focal point is basically saying, in the end, charges against the client should be dropped.
Well, this is about missing evidence that they were supposed to have received. That's the way I took it. Yeah, that's the way I took it.
Right. And the district attorney says their knowledge, there's no wrongdoing on his part. And they made that statement in September after they investigated. I read about it in January when I knew he was deeply a candidate, if not the leading candidate for the job. And I know he was fully vetted by Penn State. And it's just important that people understand the context of how this came up. This is not a prosecution brief. This is the defense's brief trying to get the charges dropped. He's a high-profile name, so it sticks out in the brief. I think that's the fairest way I can put it. But he's going to start the caravan tomorrow. They have, geez, I don't know, how many stops do they have? A dozen? Or is it 18?
I don't know. I saw the number earlier today, but I don't remember what it was.
It's a dozen. I know I'm doing the Scranton one. That's on May 14th. That one I remember. I'm opposite him when he's in Pittsburgh on the 8th. I'm doing one in Ohio that day. I went to the Pennsylvania Central Maryland, and I spoke to the group, the Pennsylvania Club of Central Maryland. And it was really wild. Two of my college roommates showed up. And a guy was a friend of mine about 30 years ago before he moved down there. He showed up as well. Like, wow. They made up half the crowd. Just kidding. So, just so you know, I mean, have you read it?
I have.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be a legal expert here, but to me it appears to be much ado about nothing.
Well, it's basically the defense lawyer saying that they didn't get all the evidence that was being discussed. So there's like missing file folders, they claim, in some of the discs, and missing this and that, and that's what the basis of it is.
Yeah, it's the prosecution is what they're accusing him, not James Franklin.
That's exactly right.
It's the prosecution they're accusing as an avenue to get it dismissed. It turns out that in the brief, James' name comes up twice. Yeah, and one is that he had said something to the alleged victims, you know, basically, hey, you okay, like 4 days later. All right. That's the gist of it. So I think people will make a big deal of it. We'll just sit back, let it play out. But it certainly would not be anything I would look at and go, oh, well, why'd they hire him? No, I'm thrilled they hired him. So, okay, it's Make Kevin Feel Good Day. 800-795-9565. Call in. Tell him he's right about everything.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
No, absolutely. Tell him he's right about the Steelers. He's right about fantasy football. He's right about August.
You are enamored with the fact that I love August. You're just...
I've never in my life heard that. I've never in my life heard a single person say, my favorite month is August. I've heard people say July because, hey, you know, I can go to the beach.
You don't
whatever.
Like the build up. You don't like the build up to anything. You just like the thing. I like the build up. I like looking forward to things. I mean, the event itself is great, but like I look forward to vacations. Some of the most fun of vacations are planning them. So this is nothing new for me. This is all in my personality. It shouldn't surprise you at all.
You're absolutely right. No, great. That's great. You're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right.
I'm all about the build up and then the event.
No, and really, you, I'm so with you. I can't do this much longer. Somebody call me. Somebody call. I can't do this much longer. I'm about to break. 800-795-9565. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kevin. Terrific. Absolutely right. You're the best. Let's take a break, please. Do something. Hit a button.
How about this one?
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
You made me so
That's what this is all about. It's Make Kevin Happy Day. I decided to pick a cold, rainy, depressing day to do it. Our number, 800-795-9565. I mean, Gloomy Gus has been limping the last 3 weeks. The diet has just crushed him emotionally.
Successful diet, but it has taken its toll.
800-795-9565. Call up. Tell Kevin he's great.
There was a story this afternoon, CBS Sports, putting out about college football playoffs policy of recusal. And this seems like, do you really need to write a policy that says, basically, if Wisconsin has a shot at being voted into the tournament, that Barry Alvarez can't make a vote? Doesn't that sound like common sense? Do you really need a policy that says that?
Yeah, today you do. I mean, to be honest with you, you actually do have to have a written out policy so people understand what the rules and parameters happen to be.
I suppose I understand where it's coming
from. You can talk common sense all you want, which I agree with you. But when it's spelled out in writing, okay, these are the rules. And it also, for the future, dictates how people should handle this.
I mean, really, Pat Hayden is going to sit there and go, you know what? I don't think USC is good enough. Let's not go.
Right.
I'm going to vote no.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, they're going to do that. 800-795-9565. Call Kevin. Tell him what a great job he's doing. That you agree with everything he says. Okay, what were you saying before? Because, I know. Oh, anticipation. You love the anticipation of the event.
Yeah, I love the build-up.
Our show, as an example, is all part of discussing issues like Northwestern unionization, Donald Sterling, you know, Penn State football coaches, searches, so forth, getting a lot of guests on, giving perspective, NFL drafts coming up, and so forth. So we do a lot of that. we do take a Monday or whatever and look back at something and then start to look forward to the next thing. The difference between Kevin and me is that he lives his whole life getting that point. I love the day.
You like the event itself, yeah.
I like when the ball's actually tipped off or kicked off or the first pitch flies, and now we're in the process of watching it before our eyes play out. Instead of sitting here and guessing how it might play out.
See, I find the guessing how it might play out just as interesting.
I find it interesting to a point, but only to a point. I mean, it kind of gets to a point with me, and it's like, okay, look, let's just play the thing. Let's go. You know, it's one thing that, and I understand where you're coming from. But eventually you build up to something. You got to play it.
Well, see, this is one of the differences between you and I on this program, too. Let's look at the Super Bowl. I watched, what did I tell you, about an hour and a half to 2 hours of the pregame, and my team wasn't even in the Super Bowl, and I watched an hour and a half to 2 hours of the pregame. I sent you a text about during the national anthem because we were talking about the over-under on the national anthem, how long it would go, and you said to me, oh, is it on now? You weren't even watching it yet because you wait for the kickoff and all of a sudden then you'll start watching.
Well, I am interested in something else. It's not like I'm deliberately waiting until kickoff. I mean, I was doing something else at the time. All right. Part of it, too, is I am spoiled dramatically by working with Jack and Dick. All right. And that listening, for example, who had the Super Bowl this year? It was. Was it CBS?
Yeah. No, Fox.
Fox. Okay. With all due respect to Jimmy Johnson, Terry Bradshaw, Michael Strahan, Howie Long, and Kurt Menefee, those are the guys on the show, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I can have a 5 to 10 minute conversation with Jack on the phone and feel like I have everything I need to watch the game.
Yeah, that would like, that's probably true.
That they don't give me anything where I go, oh, really?
They're not telling you anything you haven't already heard from the people that you and deal with on a daily basis.
Plus, I went to Media Day this year, and so I either talked to them. I talked to 4 key individuals on both sides. So it turned out for this year's game, I had what I needed. How about that? Where I didn't need someone else's guesstimate. And I say that with all due respect to people who work hard and try to do their thing and so forth. I mean, it's a little bit different. I mean, the fan, you can't call up Jack and talk to him. Right? You, the fan, couldn't go to Media Day and get the, you know, and have a long talk with Jordan Hill about the team, have a long talk with Michael Robinson about the team, but also private, you know, private stuff too. Like, you know, because Mike took my class and the whole thing. And so, you know, so it was more the talking to the two of them than just about the game. To sit in on a Peyton Manning press conference. To sit in on a Russell Wilson press conference or a Pete Carroll press conference. Or, yes, a Richard Sherman press conference. Because, as you know, we played all this stuff back on the show. So, do I need to sit there? And same thing with basketball. Although I find Charles Barkley immensely entertaining.
Who doesn't?
But when it's not Barkley and Kenny Smith... I mean, maybe a little bit Seth Davis. I don't. I feel like in talking to Dick, we already kind of have a handle on where things are going. And again, the same thing where I actually turned out I was down at the Final Four this year. So you can have August.
That team is terrible. Just terrible.
Now, let's take the Donald Sterling situation. I watched it from all different perspectives. I wanted to hear what Kenny Smith had to say, what Shaq had to say, what Charles Barkley had to say, what Michael Wilbon had to say. Man, I wanted to get a feel for different perspectives. Now, something like that, yeah, I want to hear what the talking heads had to say and get their perspective on it.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. It's Make Kevin Hurt Feel Better Day. Give us a call, 800-795-9565. A lot of support pouring in. Right?
Tons. You should see the emails.
Not surprised. Why don't you read some back?
I don't have them handy right now.
Oh. Okay. 800-795-9565. One quick note. I mean, we mentioned the James Franklin thing. And again, the point of that is they're trying to get the case dismissed, and they're claiming the prosecution hasn't given them enough information that, quote, files are missing. That's what it comes down to. It turns out his name is mentioned twice in the brief. But he's cooperated fully, and the district attorney back on September 13th of last year said, based on our investigation, he hadn't done anything wrong. Okay? So just, you know, everybody just let it play out. Just let it play out. On the Donald Sterling situation, expect the owners to vote 29-0 to force him to sell. Then expect Donald Sterling, based on his history, to take them to court. Now, a lot of people seem to think, oh, yeah, there's no chance in court. There's a couple spots to this that are a little dicey here. One of them is in the state of California. Recording someone over the phone without written consent is against the law. And then how did TMZ then acquire this and then air it? Was that against the law? Which then led to his ouster, and is that allowed? See the layers we're talking about here? It's not as easy as we voted 29-0, bye-bye. Which then brings up the bigger picture. And this is something I've talked about for 30 years. When it comes to franchises, what is the business? Is the business the Los Angeles Clippers, the Boston Celtics, the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Rangers, the Philadelphia Phillies? Is that the business? Or is the league the business?
See, I like the way you compared it last hour it's a franchise of the bigger picture. Like, each team is a member of the NBA. The NBA is the franchise, is the parent, and these are the franchises. Yeah, these are the franchises of the business.
Right. The business is basketball. Kevin and I can start a rival basketball league in the business of basketball. We could put franchises in Kentucky, Vancouver, you know, wherever we wish. Nashville, Jacksonville, whatever we want to do, we can put a franchise and start our own basketball league. Find ownership and so forth. Now, when you look at the entity of the National Basketball Association or the NFL, the NHL, or MLB, Major League Baseball, they negotiate national TV contracts in which the wealth is spread to everybody in the league. They negotiate a national radio contract in which, again, it is distributed the wealth to the league in 30 equal parts in the case of the NBA. They also negotiate the labor contract. For example, Wise Markets, for example, if they have any unions, would negotiate the labor deal, which would extend to all the Wise stores. How about that? It's not just the franchise in State College saying, we'll just take care of it on our own. It doesn't happen that way. Now, the difference is that you are owning the team. He owns the team. If he sells the team, which according to Forbes has a value of $575 million, but they're playing so much better the last 3 years, 4 years with Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and so forth, all right? That they might be worth upwards of $800 million to $1 billion. He, as the owner of the franchise, would get the profit of it. He'd also have to pay the capital gains on it, which would be rather extensive. Joe in Greensburg. Hi, Joe.
What? How you doing?
Hi, Joe. I'm doing well. Tell Kevin he's doing a great job.
He's doing a tremendous job.
Hey, all right, you get through more often now.
I had to call you about James Franklin, because, you know, I live here in the Pittsburgh area, and it's unbearable. I can't explain to you. The radio waves here is just, it's incredible. I mean, last night I just happened to turn on the Pittsburgh radio show, The Fan. The two guys that do the show in the afternoon, they basically want him to resign. But I don't know. Do you feel that this is, you say let it play out. I mean, I feel confident it's going to work out pretty good. Do you have that confidence also? Or?
Yes, I do, because you know, you have to understand what they're driving at in this thing, which means you have to take the time. I'm not talking about you, Joe. I think you know what I'm driving at. You have to take the time to actually read it. It's a 24-page brief. He's mentioned twice in the brief. Right. The purpose of the brief is that they're accusing the prosecution of not giving them enough information, or that there are missing files, because they want the case to be dismissed. That's what they're looking for. The brief is actually against the prosecution. It's not accusing James Franklin of anything. It's just part of the brief. And that's what it ends up being. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Yeah.
Absolutely. My question, and this might be an off-the-cuff question, is what has happened to journalism today? I mean,
there are still some really good ones, okay? So those at the top of their profession get it. And one of the things that you do have is that the really good ones will multi-source and do their job. Now, in the case of the Tennessean, for example, you know, what's the spectacular part of the brief is his name is in there.
Right.
Thus, it makes it spectacular. Thus, it draws you as a headline in. Well, that's not in reality the focal point of the brief. The focal point of the brief is accusing the prosecution of not providing enough information or files or stuff is missing, which is derailing their defense in the case, and they want the case dismissed. That's what it's about in the 24-page brief, not about the fact that his name is in there. They're trying to get the case dismissed moving forward. That's what it's about. And when you talk about what's wrong with journalism today, I have a saying in my class that's very, very important. And I tell them, I'd rather have you be second and right than first and wrong. Yesterday was a prime example. NBC Sports reported 30 minutes before the press conference that Donald Sterling was going to be fined $5 million.
Right.
Well, guess what? It's against the NBA Constitution to fine him $5 million. If Adam Silver had fined him $5 million, Donald Sterling at that point had the legal out to make sure he didn't have to sell the team.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me that the guys in a big city have jobs like they do, and they don't check everything, and they just right off the bat, you know, and it's a sports writer in the Pittsburgh Post or Pittsburgh Tribune, I can't remember, and a Penn State graduate is the other gentleman, and it just. I just can't believe what I hear sometimes on the air, and it's just really frustrating. It makes me want to root against every Pittsburgh team there is. Let me tell you, I've never felt like that before, but I just yeah. There's only one Pittsburgh team I root for now, and that's the Pirates. The other Steelers playing with, I just won't root for them anymore because of what I hear here in this city. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, I'm sure it's tough at times, but I think the most important part of this job that I do here, and I'm not going to be perfect at it. I'm going to make mistakes, Joe, along the way, but is to do the best I can to be informed and then give perspective off of the information that I have. And again, I'll miss from time to time, but I'm not into the sensational, oh my God, you've got to call us now because... I'm going to bash this, 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 and this. That's just not how I go about my business. It's not part of my personality.
And that's, you know, I listen to you, and I respect everything that you do there, and I just think you're tremendous at what you do. And that's why I listen to you, because I can't listen to these guys in Pittsburgh anymore.
Okay.
All right, thanks, buddy.
I understand. Thanks so much, Joe. We go from Greensburg to Wynwood. Hi, Larry. Thanks for waiting. Appreciate your patience.
One side of the state to the other.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Just a point. I happen to be listening to the show. Sterling consented to the recording by the girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah, you know what? Except it's not written consent.
Well,
I know what you're saying. Yeah, you know, I know what you're saying because I think he told her to record it that way he would remember later what he said. Am I on the right track here?
You might be. I honestly don't. You know, all I know is that it's been all over the news about his consent to the recording. So, but even that, it would have no impact on what the NBA did, whether or not it was consented to or not. I mean, if it wasn't a written consent, now California could prosecute the girl, but it would have no impact on the NBA and their rules.
Right. Exactly.
So, and just to reiterate what that previous caller said, I live outside the Philadelphia area.
Right.
And pretty much the same thing you get with the headlines regarding this issue with Franklin. And it's amazing to me. I mean, I've lost complete faith in, to be honest with you, in the written media and a lot, even the talk stations who don't do their homework and have a voice, you know, whether it's written or it's a radio show, you know, how they don't do their homework and they opine about these things and really are making wrong statements. It's incredible to me what, you know, since the whole episode in began with the Sandusky thing, but you know, right. even with the most recent thing, this so-called, you know, the mention of Franklin. I mean, this was something that was filed by the defendants, not by the not by the prosecution.
Exactly my words, yes.
I mean, it's incredible to me that nobody bothers to even, like you say, look at this thing. I mean, how, you know, because there, I've seen people talking about Franklin involved in the cover-up. Well, like you said, he was cleared by the authorities in Tennessee, I don't know exactly when, but when this thing occurred, or shortly after it occurred. And it
September
continued
3rd,
to assist them, as I understand it.
September 13, 2013, the district attorney in Nashville made the statement that by their investigation, he wasn't involved in anything beyond cooperating.
Yeah, so, I mean, if it doesn't fit the narrative that has been promulgated by the media, ESPN and various other sources, you know, they pretty much ignore and just that and write, you know, what they want to write, ignorant of what the reality is. It's really like I said before, you know, it really has tainted my view of what I read and, you know, what I hear when I see the lack of due diligence of people who have this voice and put this stuff out on the air and in print. So it's you know, it's quite bothersome. So,
well, there's a responsibility. Now, I would like to point out that there are many writers, for example, and I won't go into the what a long list of people that I respect and think highly of their work. You've heard them on this show. Let me put it to you that way. How about if I phrase it that way? I think it's, you know, it's obvious the people I have great respect for. There are some people that don't want to do that, and the most important part of the story, whether it's on the air or in print or as a blogger or whatever it happens to be, there are some, okay, that the most important part is that they're the ones telling you the story, not the story itself. And it, you know, and I mean, are there certain stories where it's worthy of great attention? Yeah, the Sterling story was certainly one of them. But, you know, I get concerned sometimes where perspective is lacking because the most important part is that I told you the story, not the story itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's I don't know what it is. It's just a lack of, you know, wanting to, like you say, you know, they want, it's their side of the story and ignorant of the facts, and right. You know, it's quite bothersome, like I said. You know, I hear this thing with Sterling and this so-called First Amendment issue, but, you know, do people read what the First Amendment, what First Amendment doesn't apply to private sector?
Well, let me tell you about the First Amendment, Larry. I'm one word away from going from host to listener. Okay? If you, the audience, thinks I've gone off track, I can be out the door. If I say something management vehemently disagrees with as management, they can put me out the door.
Well,
so
sure,
they're a private employer.
Right. Employer.
Right.
That's not the government forcing you.
Right.
Government making a law against it. I mean, the First Amendment reads,
exactly.
Congress shall make no law. That's
right.
What it means. It doesn't
right.
mean...
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. You're exactly right. If you say something, mm-hmm. You know, stupid or, you know, or repugnant to to your employer, they'll show you the door. Right. And, you know, First Amendment issue has no application there.
Exactly. So, you know, so I had the freedom to say it, Larry. It doesn't mean I have the freedom to come back tomorrow and say anything.
Absolutely. You have the right to be as stupid as you want to be. There's no question. People, and it's amazing to me to see how many people classify this as a First Amendment issue and how, you know, the, you know, and certainly the issue of forcing him to sell the or trying to force him to sell the Clippers. Now, I haven't seen or read the bylaws and the constitution of the NBA, but they may very well be within their rights to do so. Despite what people say, again, this is not, you know, this is a private enterprise, and there are rules that you abide by when you join this thing. And if he didn't know the rules, that's his tough luck, to be honest with you.
Larry, great points. I know I have Brian. We're heading to the top of the hour, and I want to get Brian in as well because he's been on hold. But, Larry, great points. I appreciate your perspective very much. Let's go to Elysburg. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Kevin. Hey, Kevin, I know Steve picks on you every day, but it's okay. It's no problem. We still live our lives, and everything's good.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that.
Brian, just tell him he's doing
it
great.
I know you're still a fan, but I know there's better teams in the league, but what can we do?
You can't fix everything, right?
Me, but hey, what can I do? I don't care. But
just
tell
him he's doing a great job. Tell him he's doing a great job.
I just want to say, I'll say a thing about Franklin. Let's see what happens, and let's let it play out, like they said about the other stuff, with the coaching search. And then the other thing is, I was going to say, hey, Steve, you think, and Kevin, you think Steve and Drew will ever get signed? Thanks a lot. You guys have a great night.
Drew will get signed after June 1st, is it after May 15th? After May 15th, he'll get signed. He's been put in limbo. Somebody will sign him at some point. I wouldn't be surprised, for example, it's the Detroit Tigers that end up signing him. Because they need a shortstop. I mean, they're having trouble replacing Johnny Peralta, and of course Jose Iglesias got hurt and is out for the year. They need a shortstop. I would say they'd be a prime candidate, but Drew will get signed, and I would say probably after May 15th. So, I wish Brian had told you you were doing a great job, though.
Oh, he did. That's all right. I took it. That's fine. I appreciated what he did.
Well, you're desperate.
That's true. Can't argue with that.
Larry makes great points, and my point to Larry would be when it comes to the Clippers, you have to establish to me what is the business. Is the business entitled the National Basketball Association? Because you and I in the business of basketball can put a competing league against them. Now, if you and I wanted to have a franchise in Baltimore, for example, we could form the franchise, but who would we play? So the league, for example, negotiates a national TV contract, spreads out the wealth. A national radio contract spreads out the wealth. Does the collective bargaining agreement with the labor, okay, with the union. They take care of that. They have their own league-wide sponsorships. They have their own league-wide video, right, which they've centralized as well. So there's a lot of things that come from the league to the various branches. Now, it's different that you have ownership of each, but just like a Papa John's franchise, you can own a Papa John's franchise. But if you go off kilter, they can take the franchise away from you. And what the NBA will do will be under, I believe, Article 13 of the Constitution. It'll attempt to do this. But Article 13 mostly deals with, for example, if owner Kevin Herr owns the Baltimore Crab Cakes, okay, and he is caught gambling as an owner, he can be removed. I mean, gambling is specifically mentioned, I believe, in Article 13. But that's the key. What is it? Even though Donald Sterling is, quote, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, a league is in the business of basketball. They've formed this. They have put franchises in various cities in order to raise the profile of the league in major markets. Remember when we had Mike Lang on the show on Friday? You were fishing. But Mike Lang was talking about in the growth of the NHL that to him personally it was a setback that the Atlanta Thrashers moved from Atlanta to Winnipeg. Now, even though Winnipeg sells out every game, he said in a country, as he phrased it, of 35 million people, he said, you have seven franchises, which is one for every 5 million that live in Canada. And Canada has a population of 34.9 million. He said it would be best for the NHL to have kept the franchise in Atlanta and continue to build that franchise because market-wise, it was better for the National Hockey League. That's why not moving out of Phoenix was so important, and why the league, okay, why the league ran the team in Phoenix until they found an owner. They didn't move it. That's why when you see the NHL expand, it's going to be probably Seattle and Las Vegas and not Quebec City. Because as the league, the entity, that's where they feel it is best to have franchises located for the financial well-being for everybody. So Sterling, even though if he were to sell the Clippers, would get to keep all the money, you'd also have to pay the capital gains tax, which would be extensive, that goes with it. Because he bought the team for $12 million. It's still, to me, in the business of basketball, it is an owned branch of the business. And the business is the NBA. That's why I think they are allowed to tell him, look, your branch is hurting us. You have to get out. That's where I think they're allowed to do it. Whether a court agrees, who knows? But we learned something today. Universal love for Kevin. Take him out of depression, and Canada has 35 million people.
News, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.